Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tuesday night, you look at the Dow futures, and as the missiles were flying in the Middle East, the Dow Jones Industrials Average was expected to open down over 400 points. The fact is, Wednesday morning when the market opened, it wasn't quite that bad, but who would have thought it'd be that good? Not a 400-point loss, but a new all-time high in all of the averages. Who can figure? Well, one man who can has been watching this a long time, longer than I have, is Hugh Johnson, who's the CEO, the founder of Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany, New York, and he joined us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Great to be with you, David.
All right, you explain it. How is this possible? I mean, this market never sold off, even with the specter of all sorts of retribution after our assassination.
We were really worried that things were going to deteriorate to something that might be a military confrontation between Iran and the U.S. In the Middle East. And what I think everybody or the markets really wanted was some sign that there was going to be some restraint, particularly some restraint from our administration in Washington. And quite frankly, overnight, we seemed to get that. We didn't get a very sort of a knee-jerk response from Washington to the missiles flying at our air stations, which was good news. And then today we got even more news that suggested that everybody was going to exercise restraint, not just the U.S. but also Iran, and that we weren't going to have a military confrontation. And that, of course, got us back on track to the so-called recovery in the stock market. We got over the jitters, but these were really big, substantial, and well-founded jitters.
But what are the universal truths, and there aren't many of them, I think, on Wall Street, but what is you move on the rumor, not on the news. In this case, we should have been selling this market in anticipation of some sort of retribution, and the fact is it never happened. Is the market just... is it just too strong, or they just don't believe something bad's going to happen?
No, I think it's that the market is first of all, underneath it all, you know, if you get away from this kind of volatility that was created by this event, I think it's underneath everything, it's on a positive trend, and I think that's really the good news. It got derailed for a short period of time, but I think those of us that have been at this for a long time know that these kinds of events come and go, and they're very unpredictable. This one was clearly unpredictable, and I think it's a good outcome, but it was an unpredictable outcome. But I think you always have to be prepared. When you get an event of this sort, a big event, a shock, quite frankly, to the financial system and the global economy, a real worry, be prepared to get surprised. Be prepared to see it go away and go away quickly and to get back on track. These events are extremely volatile and very unpredictable, and I think that's the one thing you learn, and it's important.
No, but nobody has believed this rally that's been taking place now, I guess, for the last 13 months. And maybe we were overly pessimistic in the fourth quarter of 18. But there's still a staggering amount of money that's sitting on the sideline. We see the numbers in sort of quasi-money market funds. What happens when all that money comes out and finally is a believer?
Yeah, that's really an important question. You know, one of the things that's been missing from this bull market that usually characterizes the end of a bull market is not only the fact that you get cash goes down and we have very low levels of cash, that there's some leverage in it, but also that we have more optimism. And I think the one thing that's been missing is, you and I have talked before about this being missing from this bull market, is a level of optimism that sort of characterizes the end of the bull market. We've been all waiting to see that, but I haven't seen it yet. And I think that suggests or implies that maybe we've got a little bit further to go, or that we have what's been called sort of a melt-up, or we move from a stage of investment, which is characterized by rationality, into a stage which is more speculative, characterized by, let's just say, things become a little less than rational. Yeah. We haven't had that, but I think that might be just what we're in for, and that cash will that cash will drive that outcome.
I haven't seen true euphoria in a long time. Maybe when people get their 401k statements here in another couple of weeks, maybe they'll be happy then.
Oh, they certainly should be.
So as we go into the new year 2020, I've heard some experts say, well, this is going to be the year that value stocks are going to take over from growth, or this is going to be the year that international stocks or emerging market stocks are going to take over from growth stocks, and the money's not going to go into these FANG stocks anymore. Is that ever going to be true?
Yeah, someday it'll be true. And a matter of fact, we've seen some of that already. We've seen some shift from, we'll call it growth to value. We've seen that. We've seen some shift into large cap stocks, a lot of shift into large cap from small cap stocks. You might see that shift back. But I think dividends are going to become probably more important or more valuable is, I guess, the way to say it as we move through 2020. You know, we had such a big market, you know that, in 2019. Nobody expected it. I think that forecasts for 2020 have been positive, not as positive as we had in 2019, but positive. I wouldn't be surprised if things came in a little bit less than positive. There was a little disappointment. Value stocks, dividend stocks will do a lot better. Who knows what's going to be the outcome, but that would be my guess, because that would be a little bit different from 2019. Things will be a little bit different in 2020.
So if you won the Jeopardy challenge and had an extra $1 million dumped in your lap overnight, would you walk into this market sitting at new all-time highs? Would you be buying right now?
I'd probably be pretty reluctant to do it, so I might, if I had the wins from Jeopardy, I'd maybe put a third of it in. And, you know, the old dollar cost averaging, you know, just stage it in, so let's put some in now, and then maybe wait 2 or 3 months to put more in. You have to keep in mind, David, as you well know, this has been the longest bull market in history. Trees don't grow to the sky. So a little bit of a caution on the way you enter the market would be, I think, pretty important. Again, I think the most important thing is, my guess is, and it can only be a guess, 2020 is going to be different than 2019. It's going to require you to kind of approach it in a different way. And if you're a little bit cautious approaching 2020 because of the, you know, this being the longest bull market in history, you're probably being pretty smart, pretty rational about it.
Well, look, this is coming after, you know, the near-death experience of 2008 and 2009. We're probably entitled to a 10-year rally, don't you think?
Oh, well, we've got one, that's for sure, and that's really, it's really been something. But at the same time that we've had such a big rally, there are going to be those out there that are going to say, the doomsday crowd, as you know, they're always going to be there, and they're out there now telling us that the world might come to an end in 2020. I don't think so.
Good, because bull markets climb a wall of worry. We don't want to win everybody over. Hugh Johnson's our guest today. It's always good to have you with us, sir.
My pleasure.
Thanks. For more of our conversation with Hugh Johnson, the CEO and founder of Hugh Johnson Advisors, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.